I understand that the governor's on his way, so we'll sit patiently for him to arrive. Appreciate you coming back. I'm sure we'll pick up our errant members in the next couple of minutes. I will announce to the committee that we did receive an update on Representative Shetterly's condition. He has been diagnosed with appendicitis and is apparently going to be undergoing surgery this afternoon to get the problem resolved. So if you can keep his condition in your thoughts and our well wishes, I know that he wasn't really excited about this hearing, but I didn't think he'd go quite so far as to have his appendix taken out to avoid being here. Welcome, Governor. Governor, I was just informing the rest of the members of the committee and the audience here today that I'm chairing this meeting today because of Representative Shetterly's illness, which was just diagnosed apparently not very long ago as being appendicitis and having his appendix taken out this afternoon. So we hope that's not a trend here on the committee.
Yeah. Well, it's not self-inflicted.
Well, he didn't want to come, but we didn't think he didn't want to come that bad.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, John Kitzhaber, Governor of the State of Oregon. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you briefly today to share some concerns I have about several revenue proposals that are currently under discussion to address the $830 million projected revenue shortfall for this biennium. First, I want to make it clear that I know that you are approaching this task seriously and that you have a deep understanding of the value of the services that are financed by the State General Fund for the Citizens of Oregon. I also want to make it clear that I am a party to and continue to support the legislative leadership's agreement that all options be on the table for discussion. And my comments should not be construed as wanting to take anything off the table, but in fairness, I would like to share a number of concerns about three particular financing proposals that have surfaced in recent weeks, two of which I believe are under consideration, or at least under discussion, I guess would be a better word, by this committee. The first has to do with the use of the Common School Fund to address the current fiscal challenge. As you know, the Common School Fund was created at the same time our state was 143 years ago. The founders of Oregon, the names of which grace both chambers of this building, created in their wisdom a trust fund that has now grown to over $700 million. As you also know, the interest on this trust fund goes to help finance the operations of our primary and secondary school system. Various proposals have been surfaced to either use the corpus of this fund or to borrow against the corpus of this fund for dealing with the operational revenue, operational needs of our primary and secondary system for the 0103 biennium. I haven't to date seen an actual proposal written out, but I would like to make three general comments about this concept. First, as you probably know, the Attorney General has raised some serious questions about the use of the corpus, at any rate, for this particular purpose. Having voted against the SAFE rate in 1982 as a legislator and having budgeted for the consequence as a governor, I generally follow the advice of listen to your attorneys. Second, I believe that using the Common School Fund to bridge a 1 to 2 year financing problem amounts to breaking faith with both past and future generations of Oregonians. If we adopted this approach in 1982, when the revenue problem was twice as great as it is today, we might not have a Common School Fund or one of any substance to be discussing. Finally, using the Common School Fund today will not solve the fundamental problems in the 03 and 05 biennium and beyond. And I believe we have an obligation to create budget stability beyond an 18-month period. The second issue involves moving the final K-12 disbursement from this biennium into the next. Again, our informal conversations with the Attorney General suggest that there are some legal questions with this, and there would be some, I think, real merit in exploring those. But quite candidly, so far, no one has been able to explain to me how this doesn't simply elevate check-kiting to the status of state fiscal policy. I mean, to follow this logic, what other final payments can we push into the next biennium? Why stop at $200 million? Why not go further than that? The point is that this kind of creative financing, doesn't get to the fundamental problem, which is a permanent discrepancy between the current level of state program and services and the revenue that we anticipate to be able to cover those expenses on into the future. The final scheme, which surfaced yesterday, and I appreciate this committee is not apparently addressing that today, was one brought to us by our treasurer and several members of the legislature, and involved securitizing a portion of the national tobacco settlement. As I understand it, this involves borrowing against the revenue stream of the national tobacco settlement, and the operative word here is borrowing. Another word would be debt financing. To take out a 15-year loan to pay the operational costs of the K-12 system for 18 months strikes me as reckless at best, and it's expensive. The proposal that was discussed yesterday, with all due respect to our treasurer, would garner us $200 million at a cost of $300 million. It's not the kind of proposal that I would endorse, given the fact that the long-term debt only buys short-term services. Now, again, I want to emphasize that under the agreement that we are operating with the legislative leadership, I'm not suggesting that these ideas be taken off the table. But I guess my concern is that they don't address the fundamental challenge before us. And that's simply this, that during the 1990s, we cut our taxes, but not our program level. We cut our taxes through ballot measure 5. We cut our taxes, our income taxes, through the 2% kicker. And in the 97, 99, and 2001 biennia, the legislature adopted a budget significantly higher than the governor's recommended budget, and I signed the legislatively adopted budget. Now, I agree with the speaker in his comments to the Oregonian that we can balance the 0103 budget without new taxes. There's no question about it. It seems to me the question is whether we feel we have an obligation to adopt more than an 18-month event horizon, whether we feel the obligation to make the tough choices now or to push some of those choices off for future legislatures to deal with. It strikes me that we're approaching the 150th anniversary of our state. We're facing the most serious fiscal challenge we've had in 20 years. This committee, and only this committee, has the constitutional authority to initiate and develop serious revenue proposals. What we're looking at so far is a proposed raid on a 150-year-old savings account, borrowing from the past and mortgaging the future, borrowing against the anticipated profits of the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, and elevating check kiting to a matter of state fiscal policy. I think we can do better than that. Thank you.
Are there questions for the governor? Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Governor, I heard three objections to the concept of borrowing money or appropriating money from the Common School Fund for education expenditures in this biennium. One was the issue of depleting the fund. It seems to me, Governor, that if you're borrowing the money and there's a legal obligation to pay the dollars back and you're going to restore those dollars after the recession ends, that objection goes away. Is that correct? Does it go away?
There's no question about it. If you are going to repay those resources in the future, this is getting around the constitutional question that the AG have raised, but assuming it's constitutional, that's correct.
So two of the objections, one was you could be depleting the fund, and the second one was the constitutional or the legal issues, which had to do with appropriating money from the fund and not restoring it, go away if the legislation is crafted in such a way that the legislature in the statute makes it required that once the recession has ended that these funds get paid back over some period of years with some rate, reasonable rate of interest. It seems to me then, Governor, it leaves one objection, which is the long-term, short-term objection that you've raised. Am I correct in the way I'm interpreting
it? You're partially correct, Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt. I believe that, and again, you'll need to discuss this with the Attorney General, but my sense was that there's a serious constitutional question about whether you can actually access the corpus, whether you borrow against it or pay it back. You can do that in the non-invested funds. I think that's clear, but I think the constitutional question goes deeper than your statement. I would defer that to the Attorney General. But the most serious concern I have with this financing scheme, with securitization, with moving the final payment is that it ducks what I believe to be the fundamental issue here, which is the discrepancy between program level and revenue.
I can follow up.
You may follow up.
Governor, the next question has to do with the short-term, long-term solution mm-hmm. that you've addressed, and I think that's one that we've all given a lot of thought to for many, many years. We're in a situation now that we have roughly 17 months left in this biennium. When we left this building back in July, we thought we were going to have an ending balance and we were going to have the funds to cover all of our programs, but here suddenly we find ourselves roughly $700-800 million short.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that it's a pretty difficult challenge at this point to try to address the long-term issue here. It has been on the table for a long time. There's been several efforts made to address that. It's pretty unrealistic to me that we're going to address that in a special session, and we're going to use that as maybe a reason or a justification for not coming up with a short-term solution. Which I think is very much within grasp, and I think the Common School Fund, or borrowing from the Common School Fund, is part of that solution. I mean, how do you respond to that? I've been in this process for 4 years, some other people longer. You've been governor for 7 years. I know we've all been concerned about this issue, but we haven't come up with a solution. It seems to me it's unrealistic to come up with a solution now in a special session.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wood, I'm not suggesting restructuring the tax system. I think we need to get clear on what we think the long-term problem is. I think we have a long-term problem with the stability of our existing tax system. There's nothing wrong with the income tax in terms of its adequacy in generating revenue. The real problem with the income tax is what we're facing right now in terms of, we've chosen not to invest our surplus into a rainy day fund. What I perceive the long-term problem is a structural discrepancy between the current level of programs and services and the projected revenue to pay for it. And that is a direct result of the couple of ballot measures, our choice on the kicker, and our spending patterns in the 1990s. I signed all those budgets. I'm not taking fault with anybody, but that's how we got there. And it seems to me that we have an opportunity here to either cut the programs or pay for them with real dollars. Pay as you go. Call me conservative. It's an old-fashioned concept. But that's not what we're talking about.
Well, I don't think there's much chance of that with most of us on the committee.
Well, I figured I was safe. Well, of course, Beck's here, and I'm definitely the right guy.
All right, we'll give you that one.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wood.
If I can follow up on that, Governor, isn't it different now that we're in a recession? In other words, back in the last biennium, and in 95, 97, when the economy was going strong and the tax receipts were coming in above projection on a consistent basis, and that was probably the time, and I'm not blaming anybody, that was probably the time we should have been looking for a long-term solution. But we're in a recession now. We have an $800 million shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem to you that there's a level of prudence here that says that this, I'm talking about the Common School Fund now, this has built up to $800 million mostly over the last 10 years. Isn't it prudent to protect education funding now, to borrow some of those dollars when you know your tax receipts are down, with the obligation to pay them back when that recession ends, when your tax receipts are growing again?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, I don't think so. And I know we're going to probably agree to disagree on this one. It seems to me that what we're doing, we have a $1 billion projected shortfall in 2003-2005 and another one in 2005-2007. And all the solutions we're talking about here is to simply shove the choices to deal with that into the next biennium. I would remind you that in 1982, a Republican governor, Vic Atiyah, cut the budget and surcharged the income tax. And it was a sunsetted income tax, I think it was a four-year, wasn't ever referred. We made permanent cuts and permanent revenue. We didn't leave the next session with a huge fiscal problem to deal with. And I just personally believe that this administration and this legislature has had the luxury of governing and legislating during very good fiscal times, and we've spent it all. You adopted it, I signed it. And I don't think that it's responsible to figure out a way to cobble together a duct tape, baling wire approach to a fiscal problem for the next 18 months and not come to terms with this. Sooner or later, we're going to have to come to terms with those past choices, and we could duck them during the 90s because of the great revenue growth and because we adopted video poker. I just think we need to come to terms with that.
But Governor, if I can, and obviously we share a different history in the early 80s. I was graduating from high school, and you were probably already here working on these things. But I want to go back to that early 80s. Even that four-year income tax surcharge was a temporary fix. Mm-hmm. It did nothing, frankly, in the long term to restructure a revenue source in a more balanced way. It was, in fact, a fix that got us over a short-term solution. I guess I'm having trouble in some ways of distinguishing the kinds of proposals that this committee talked about this morning. For example, the Common School Fund, while there are portions of that fund where there may be a constitutional question about their accessibility, I think there are clearly other portions, and folks from the AG's mm-hmm. office testified to this morning, there are portions of that fund that probably don't meet any mm-hmm. kind of a constitutional challenge. So the question is, don't we have an obligation in this time that has certainly got a structural problem built into the system that we have generally ignored for the last 10 years, but also is in the midst of the most worst part of the downturn, cyclical portion of our problem? Don't we have a isn't this the time to bring solutions together, to balance a certain amount of cuts with a certain amount of access to those revenue sources, and to essentially lower the bleeding until we get into the next session where we've got everybody assembled in this room for a full session to really then talk about long-term prioritization of the budget, long-term solutions to the structural change, and not to try to do that, as Representative Witt said, with 30 days and essentially one-day special session?
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Chairman, I think it's ducking the core issue. I mean, you can certainly do it. I expect you will. But the fact of the matter is, I think we're mixing apples and oranges. There's absolutely nothing inadequate about the income tax as a revenue source. It's a matter of political will as to whether we want to raise the revenue. The problem with the income tax is that it is unstable during a recession. So I don't think this is an issue of restructuring the overall tax system. It's a fundamental question of if you're going to increase spending and cut taxes during good times when you have a surplus rolling over the transom, in bad times you ought to either increase taxes or cut the programs. And, you know, cut $800 million out of the budget, and we don't have the problem. Cut $500 million out of the budget, and you can use some of these one-time things because it'll reduce the shortfall. What I think would be very irresponsible would be for this legislature to come into a special session and, through whatever combination of actions they take, not significantly reduce, not eliminate, but not significantly reduce the 03-05 gap. We created it. We need to help fix it. Now, you can use one-time revenues. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But I do think that you got to look at however you develop this combination so that you're not just dealing with a one biennium problem, because this is a much longer problem. And I think that's a bigger issue, bigger threat, bigger challenge than what's been created by the recession in this biennium.
If I could, and then Governor, I think that there are a number of us who don't disagree with what you've just said, in the sense that those of us who are planning on returning, don't want to face the kind of hole we're potentially looking at facing, and we would want to see some balanced series of cuts. But I view this, at least, and I'm talking now personally for me and not as the chairman of this committee, is a combination of both some of these revenue sources along with a balanced set of cuts to get us through that cycle. And I think the place where we're going to end up potentially having the disagreement is, what do we consider the significant amount of next year's or next biennium's budget that we're going to have to address? That may be where the challenge lies. Representative Hass.
Mr. Chair, just as an observation, the governor brought up 1982, and back then, according to the Revenue Office, the Common School Fund was about $100 million. Since then, it has kicked off $333 million to Oregon schools, and it's now standing at somewhere just shy of $800 million. That's $1 billion in 20 years that it has grown or lent support to Oregon schools. And I guess, you know, from my perspective, I'm grateful that John Kitzhaber and Len Hanna and the others who were here then didn't raid the Common School Fund back then. And what's intriguing to me is what this will do on that kind of trajectory for the next 20 years. And I think if we leave that alone under, you know, we'll be measuring that Common School Fund in billions of dollars 20 years from now.
Just a Mr. comment there. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I just remind Representative Hass, we're not talking about a raid. We're talking about borrowing money with the obligation to pay it back with interest so it's restored. And we're talking about only doing it when there's an economic recession so that schools don't have cuts in programs that can be avoided.
Representative Beck.
Governor, 90, you had your tax reform work group. When was that, 98, 90?
Oh, we had two of them. They were in the 97-99 interim, basically.
Right. Would you see any chance that, first, I guess I'd agree with you that this punting off to the next session, you know, I've been here now, just finished my third session. Every time I've been here, it was, well, we'll do that next session, we'll do that next session, we'll do that next session. It seems to me that during times of, I don't want to say crisis, but challenge, that's when the public's most willing to look to some leadership from us and you to make some tough decisions. And I agree with you, now is the time to do something, not put this on. I'm wondering whether this committee, there are these study groups, could quickly reconvene, or whether there are ideas and that those groups are willing to get behind forcefully to bring to the legislature as, you know, some immediate short-term, but also some more long-term fixes. Is there a core of a group of business and civic leaders in Oregon who are willing to get down here pronto and tell us what they think we ought to do, because they've looked at it a couple of times?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beck, well, I guess a couple of points. The committee that Ron Tempe actually chaired it, they came to two conclusions. One of them was that if you stay with the income tax, you need a rainy day fund of some sort. And I think as close as they came to agreement, conceptual agreement on a third leg, it was very similar to your chairman's business activity tax he discussed last session. I'm not suggesting, and I agree with Representative Witt, you can't come into a special session and do a major overhaul of the tax system. I mean, I don't think that's the problem. I think that's an issue that we need to look at. It's the holy grail of Oregon politics. But I think what we have is a situation where we've created a big discrepancy between revenue and service level. And we created it over a decade. This is a problem that's been a decade in creating. And the fundamental question is whether we want to close it or whether we want to finance it, debt finance it. And I just fundamentally disagree with going down the path of borrowing money long-term and paying interest to take care of short-term operational costs. Again, it's easy to do politically. But it just makes no sense to me. That's what the federal government does. I don't want us to go there. I mean, we did it, and I signed the bills. We borrowed money from the lottery bonds to finance 1 year of the K-12 system. We'll be paying that off for 20 years, and it's gone. And I can't think of, you know, any fiscal expert that you talk to will tell you that if you're going to borrow long-term, it ought to be against something that has a long-term benefit. That's why debt financing for highway construction makes sense. But for operational, the operation of the K-12 system, I just disagree that it's a good place to go.
Governor, if I could, I think one of the issues here that we're in is, again, getting back to the issue between our structural problem, where we're too heavily leveraged on simply an income tax that is great in great times and challenging,
right,
not in great times. But then also the impact that we're currently in by the cyclical nature of the downturn. And so we are, for example, in an accentuated position as a result of that downturn. And what is that is the whole concept of a rainy day fund, something that I've put bills in on both sessions I've been down here and tried to get through this body, was some sort of a rainy day fund that would trigger in an environment just
mm-hmm.
like this
mm-hmm.
one, that would require that you borrow money out of the fund, and then you agree over some period of time to pay it back. That's essentially what's being proposed, at least by a number of us, with respect to use of the common school fund. How is that any different? I mean, it is designed to get us in this sort of one-legged stool situation over the cyclical downturn, hopefully with enough leeway, along with some cuts, that you start to balance those issues out when the economy starts to rise again.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it's a world of difference. It's a fund that's created specifically to cushion you against this kind of circumstance. There are trigger mechanisms. Presumably, you have a way to continually recapitalize it, so you take the money out of the fund during the bad times. So you can structure it to borrow it, but I think this is fundamentally a different animal that we're talking about here.
But the point is, we didn't do that, and now we're in the current crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm suggesting that this is an alternative that we could use. And look, if you want to agree that we'll co-support the creation of a long-term permanent rainy day fund in the special session, I'll sign up, because, you know, I put bills on that, and so have about half the other members of this committee in the last two legislative sessions. But for the current problem, I think the fallback is to use some portion of these common school funds as if it were a rainy day fund.
Well, I don't agree with that, but I respect your point of view, and I know it's shared by many others.
Okay, are there further questions for the governor? Representative Hayden.
Governor, a few days ago, you laid out a budget that demonstrated distributive justice and was certainly fair and balanced in that it gored all oxes. If this committee would adopt that budget and if the legislature would pass it, would you sign it?
I'd be inclined to, yeah, if you could get it to me. I mean, if that's the only option. I mean, if basically people are unwilling to solve this problem any other way, that would give us back into balance. At least it's, you know, if you don't want to pay for it, then we shouldn't fund it.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Wayne.
One last question for the governor, if I could. Governor, if it becomes apparent there's no possibility of revenue enhancements through surtaxes or some other tax mechanism, and it comes down to protecting K-12 funding through mechanisms similar to the ones that we've been discussing in this committee today and you've given your comments on, or simply imposing the kind of cuts that your presentation last Monday indicated, which would you prefer to see the legislature do?
I'd probably go with the cuts, Representative Witt.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other questions? Governor, we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. It's now 1 minute to two. Our schedule was to have the treasurer here at 2 o'clock. Although you're a delightful stand-in, you are not the treasurer.
I'm just glad to know I'm delightful. And I'm not going to stand in unless you really need me to. This seems to be a day for family medical emergencies, and on its way down here, the treasurer just have to return home. And so he won't be able to make it now or anytime today. I'm not really prepared to cover for him if this was going to be his opportunity to speak to the Common School Fund issue. I can give you a very general position, but I understood this to be the time that the committee could actually speak to him as a land board member personally. So, Mr. Chair, your will?
Well, you did send me this note that I received exactly as you were sitting down to deliver that message. So,
the mailbox rule applies, though, and it was delivered when I did give it to them.
Right, I understand. That's fine. We are certainly hopeful that it's nothing serious with the treasurer and his family, and our best wishes will be extended to him and his family, and we won't put you under any obligation to speak on such a sensitive matter on his behalf. So with that committee, is there business of the committee? Did we put out sign-up sheets? Is there anybody who wanted to speak that didn't get their opportunity? Thanks, Kate. I'm seeing. Come on, John. Do you want to come? You want a second bite at the apple? We'll give you a second bite at the apple if you want it. Anybody else want to try to upstage the governor? Okay. Hearing none, then I think what we'll do is we will go ahead and adjourn the committee for the day. We'll reconvene at the call of the chairman.
The real chairman?
The real chairman. At the call of the real chairman.
The real chairman.
We're adjourned.